You're listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information about Vineyard Milwaukee, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com. Now, here's our podcast.
I love how Dave said we're sort of back. You guys all feel that?
Sort of back.
Yeah, it feels like the mantra of the last year and a half or so. I don't know. Sort of back. But I am glad to be back, and I'm glad you're here. And if you're with us at home, I get you, and I'm glad you're here with us too. We're just rolling with it. We're just going to work through life as a family. So welcome if you're in the room. You are family, and we're really glad you're here. And if you're with us at home, you are part of us too, and we're glad you're joining us. Caleb thought I would be the only one in the room that is familiar with the movie You've Got Mail. Anybody else know this movie? Well, all right. Unfortunately, we dropped him off at the airport this morning, so I couldn't prove him wrong, but I'll let him know. Well, good. So You've Got Mail, cute little movie, came out in the late 90s when the internet email was just becoming more popular and people were beginning to communicate more by email and through the internet. And so if you aren't familiar with it, it's this movie with this book superstore magnate called Joe Fox, played by Tom Hanks, and he develops a relationship online with this independent bookstore owner named Kathleen Kelly, played by Meg Ryan, and they kind of fall in love in the anonymity of the internet, but they're unaware that in the real world, he's actually, because he owns this huge chain called Fox Books, is actually putting her adorable little bookstore, which has been in her family for generations, out of business. So they're sort of like enemies in the real world, but they're like falling in love online, and so there's... But anyway, he discovers, I'm going to play just a short clip for you this morning. He discovers who she is before, that this is the same woman that he's putting out of business is also the woman he's been communicating with online before she does. But he's already fallen for her, and so he's hoping to win her over in the real world. So after he does indeed put her out of business, he hears that she's sick, and he goes to visit her, and that's what's happening in this scene. So just play a little clip for you.
Hello.
What are you doing here?
I heard you were sick, and I was worried. And I wanted to make sure.
What?
Is there somebody here?
No. Oh, it's Hope Shopping Network.
Oh, you buy any of those little porcelain dolls?
I was thinking about it. Hey, you put me out of business.
Yes, I did.
Did you come to gloat?
No.
To offer me a job?
I would never...
Because I have plans. I have plenty of offers. You know, I got offered a job by...
By my former...
Well, yeah, actually by... Oh, your former?
We broke up.
Oh, well, that's too bad. You were so perfect for each other. Oh. I don't mean to say things like that. No matter what you've done to me, there's no excuse for my saying anything like that. But every time I see you...
Things like that just fly out of your mouth.
Yes.
I brought you flowers.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't I just put these in some water? And hey, you're sick. You should sit down.
Okay.
Okay, I need a vase, a vase, vase.
Above the refrigerator.
There it is. Hey, George says hello, by the way. He's the one who told me you were sick.
How's George?
Great. I mean, really great. He's revolutionizing the place. So you can't work in his department unless you have a PhD in children's literature.
I love daisies.
You told me.
They're so friendly. Don't you think that daisies are the friendliest flower?
I do.
When did you break up?
A couple of weeks ago.
Everyone is breaking up. You, me, this other person I know broke up with someone in an elevator, or just it's after it, or just outside it, or it got stuck. When I saw you at the coffee place, I was waiting for him, and I was...
Charming.
I was not charming.
Well, you look charming. Tea?
Yes. I was upset and horrible.
Honey?
Yes.
I was the horrible one.
Well, that's true, but I have no excuse.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That's interesting. Whereas I am a horrible person. Therefore, I have no choice but to be horrible. That's what you're saying. But that's all right. That's all right. I put you out of business, so you're entitled to hate me.
I don't hate you.
But you'll never forgive me. Just like Elizabeth.
Who?
Elizabeth Bennet in Pride and Prejudice. She was too proud.
Oh, I thought you hated Pride and Prejudice.
Or was she too prejudiced and Mr. Darcy is too proud? I can't remember. It wasn't personal.
What is that supposed to be? I'm so sick of that. All that means is that it wasn't personal to you. But it was personal to me. It's personal to a lot of people. I mean, what is so wrong with being personal anyway?
Nothing.
Because whatever else anything is, it ought to begin by being personal.
So you're familiar with that statement? You know, it's business, it's not personal. But she has some kind of powerful lines here. Whatever else anything is, it ought to begin by being personal. Would you agree with that? And so I'm wondering today, for those of you in the room or with us online, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you would honestly say, when you think about your life with Jesus, if you would more often describe it as business or personal. Do you often feel like you're kind of just doing your duty, that you're checking your boxes, that you're adopting a set of beliefs, or would you describe your life with Jesus as very personal to you? Is your life with Jesus relational? Is it inspirational? Is it transformational? Or does it often feel more like business? Kurt Thompson, who's the author of a really great book called The Anatomy of the Soul, he says, despite the interest in spirituality in much of the West, and North America in particular, our overall experience of God's power and life-giving vitality is often limited, especially when it comes to growth and reconciliation in our relationships. We often see life in Jesus as more about survival in this life until we, quote, die and go to heaven, than about grace, adventure, and genuine, concrete, life-giving change. So why do you think that is? Why do you think that for so many of us, our life with Jesus sometimes feels more like business than personal? Do you think this is how Jesus' first followers felt, those who were walking around with him in the flesh? Do you think they were ever bored or ever felt like half alive in Jesus' presence? Did they face challenges? Absolutely. Did they suffer? Sure. Were they confused a lot? I think yes. But I don't know if I'd ever describe them as bored or apathetic or lonely. So why are we? What did they have going for them that many of us don't seem to have going for us? So I'm guessing, I'm going to like read your mind, and guessing you might be answering that question in your mind thinking, well, they had Jesus in the flesh, right? They could touch him. They could eat dinner with him. They could laugh with him. They partied with him. They cried with him. They joked around with him. They were intimate. They were friends with him. They got to see the things he did firsthand. They got to participate in the things he was doing. And Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh, is he? So is it possible, the question I want to talk about today, is it possible to have that kind of intimacy with the person of Jesus, the same level of intimacy that causes earlier followers to leave everything, leave their families, their careers, just to be near him, even if it meant risking their own lives? The kind of intimacy that when the pressure mounted and things were getting harder and a lot of disciples and followers fell away and Jesus looked at his closest friends and said, are you going to leave me too? Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of life. In other words, like, now that I've met you, like, you are my life. Where would I go? How do we experience life with Jesus like that? You are my life. Where else would I go? And so today I want to suggest to you, as we kind of open up this new series that we're starting, that this kind of loyalty, this kind of mutual love relationship with the person of Jesus can be experienced through his Spirit, the one that we call the Holy Spirit. And I want to pause for a minute, and I was going to have you, like, write on paper, but you don't need to do that. But if you have paper in front of you, you want to. I just want to pause for a minute, and I want you to just honestly think in your mind or jot down the first two or three things that come to your mind. Just no filter when I say the Holy Spirit, or I say we're going to study the Holy Spirit. Just what comes to your mind, in all honesty. We're a smaller group today, so we can have a little feedback here, right? I'm a teacher by nature. Like, I like feedback. So just take a couple minutes. It doesn't have to be a deep thought. It doesn't have to be a profound or theologically correct thought. I just love to know kind of what pops in your head. Anyone want to share?
Fresh air.
Fresh air. What else? Power.
Enlightenment.
Excitement.
Chaotic good.
Chaotic good. All right, this is kind of what I expected, right? So we think about energy, feelings, excitement, chaos, right? These are power. Maybe just the word alone makes you feel like actually uncomfortable, just like bringing up that we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, or maybe it makes you really excited, depending on where you're coming from, your paradigms, your experiences in or out of the church. Well, I want you to look with me at John 14. We're going to look at verses 15 through 21, and then again at 25 through 27. And this is a time where Jesus, in the flesh, with his followers, was getting close to his execution. He's getting close to dying. They didn't really understand what was coming, but he was letting them know what was going to be coming. He was kind of preparing them for what would be coming next. And he says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." And then skip down to verse 25. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So he's preparing them. Like, things are going to get real messy and scary. I'm going to be leaving, but actually I'm going to come back. And he's explaining this as he's moving closer to his death, and he knows they're certainly going to grieve. But he's saying, "I won't abandon you." He says, "The world won't accept him, but you will because you know him." In other words, you know me. You will know me when I return to you. You will see me because you see me now. And I will be closer to you because you are in me and I am in you. We're enmeshed with each other. My Spirit and your Spirit are connected, are enmeshed. The Holy Spirit will advocate for you. He will help you. He will teach you. He will give you peace. He will love you. He says, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them, and I will show myself to them." Jesus saying, "I will show myself to you, to them, to those that love me." So he's attempting to unpack here the mystery of the Trinity. Is the Holy Spirit separate from Jesus? Yes. Is he the Spirit of Jesus? Yes. Is the Spirit of God? Yes. Did disciples understand this concept better than we do? No. But what they did understand, and that Jesus was communicating to them and to us, is that when I send you the Holy Spirit, I'm not sending you a force or an element or a power. I'm sending you a person. I'm sending the personal presence of God. I'm sending you myself. And I will be closer to you than you've ever been, and you have the potential for profound intimacy with me through the Holy Spirit. In fact, later, we're going to be unpacking in the weeks to come. At one point, he says in the same section of Scripture, he says, it's actually better if I go. It's actually to your advantage that I leave and send the Holy Spirit, because he will be closer to you than I am now. And this is the kind of intimacy that can radically transform your life. I remember, for me, the first time that I came to understand the Holy Spirit was a person. It was a season in my life where I was desperate to experience the empowered life of the Holy Spirit, to feel like my prayers had more power to them. And so up until that point, I kind of thought of the Holy Spirit as kind of like a mystical force that kind of happened to you. And it was just like something I had to like somehow empty myself out in some way to like experience the Holy Spirit. I just needed to empty my mind and concentrate real hard and open myself up to this sort of strange unknown power. But when the pastor that was teaching us, I went to this Holy Spirit weekend in order to like hopefully get this like thing to happen to me. So when he was teaching us that the Holy Spirit is a person, and he's the same person you, those of you who follow Jesus, know and have a relationship with. This is the same person you've been praying to, that you've been walking with and has been experiencing love from. This is not some foreign mystical force that's just going to happen to you. This was a major paradigm shift for me. I remember in the moment, it's the first time someone told me the Holy Spirit was a person that I could know and be known by. And so as we were waiting on the Holy Spirit, as some of you may have experienced before, in the past, when I had experienced that, I would kind of open up my hands and then just try to, like I said, blank my mind out and concentrate really hard. But then I remembered I was talking to a person that I already knew. And so I just talked to him. And I just said, Holy Spirit, I have just longed for you to be closer to me. I've often felt passed over. And I just need you. And as I just began to communicate with this God that I'd known and had a relationship with for years, I began to actually feel what felt just kind of like something really warm and soothing kind of rest on my shoulders and neck and head. It was actually a physical sensation. And then I just experienced the same God that I already had a love relationship with get really close to me. It almost felt like his face was up near mine. And I felt like he just was looking at me saying, Rebecca, I see you. I know what's happening in your life. I was in a painful season, and he just said, I see you and I know you. I'm right here. I'm right here in the middle of this. I'm so close. I haven't missed anything. And tears just started streaming down my face. It was incredibly intimate and incredibly personal. And so over the next few months, we've just felt really led to really unpack for us as a community what life in the Spirit is all about. Often we kind of minimize this whole concept of the Holy Spirit in a small box, and it's just this strange kind of thing that some churches talk about and some don't, and it looks like this. It looks like a particular kind of manifestation or experience, and we're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is the way that we get personal and intimate with God. And so we're going to be unpacking over the weeks and really months ahead. We're going to start with who the Holy Spirit is. We're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. We're going to talk about what he does. And then how we can partner with him, how we can participate in what he's doing to heal and love the world back to health and wholeness. And so, like I said, I know that we're coming from different places, and what I'm really hoping is that we will create an environment for you where you feel free to ask questions, to explore, to just open yourself up, regardless of where you're coming from. Even if you're like, yes, I'm pumped, I love talking about the Holy Spirit, I've already, just in diving in, been learning new things and encountering the Holy Spirit in new ways. And so I just encourage you to be open to discovering just more of God. We will never exhaust the infinite God in our finite experience. You'll never like have it all. And so I just encourage you to be open, but know that this is a safe space for you to explore and ask questions, and wherever you're coming from, just to take a step forward. And so we're going to also have more opportunities than just our Sunday morning gathering. That this isn't going to be just like, you know, your 20 minutes on Sundays where you get a little bit of information. But we're also going to have opportunities if those of you who are in small groups, or there'll be some additional courses and opportunities for you to kind of come together, even go deeper in different areas that you might be interested in. But before we dive into the fuller picture of all that's involved in what it means to walk in the Spirit and have life with the Holy Spirit, as a starting place, I think this is so fundamental. I just want you to grasp that the Holy Spirit is a person to be known by and for you to know. It's a person for you to have a relationship with. It is not a force to encounter. It is not some mystical force that happens to you. It is a person for you to have intimate, personal relationship with. And so as we unpack the various graces of the Holy Spirit and the ways he does move in power, and we dive into different supernatural manifestations and all the things that we learn in Scripture and experience in our lives, I really want you to keep in mind that at the core, this is about love. That this is about intimacy between you and the person of Jesus. And it's cultivated through the Holy Spirit. And this is between you and the person of Jesus, and between us collectively and the person of Jesus. This is the Spirit of God relating to our spirit, loving us personally, loving us collectively, wanting to be known by us, and wanting to know us. You know, Billy Graham, who has not necessarily been known as a particular charismatic, when I say charismatic, he is a very charismatic personality, but I mean into like the charismatic gifts of the Spirit and that kind of thing in his, all of his Bible teachings over the years. He once wrote this. He said, "Everywhere I go, I find that God's people lack something. They are hungry for something. Their Christian experience is not all that they expected, and they often have reoccurring defeat in their lives. Christians today are hungry for spiritual fulfillment. The most desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus be filled with the Holy Spirit." So it is to believe in Jesus, to follow Jesus, to be saved by Jesus, by his grace, without experiencing him regularly in a very personal and intimate way. And it's through relationship with the Holy Spirit that we experience God's personal love for us. I took the title of the sermon series, "By My Spirit," from the verse in Zechariah, where he says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." So it won't be from our striving or our trying really hard or reading more books that we're going to experience internal transformation and begin to live out our calling as empowered ambassadors of the kingdom. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit. And it starts with love. It's always about love. So I want to close today with just two invitations for us. First is kind of a broad one, and I've kind of talked about it already. As we dive into this series that I mentioned is going to be for a while, and it's going to be more opportunities for you, there will be more resources and opportunities than just Sunday morning, to dive in a more intentional way, to not just just kind of show up as an occasional casual observer. But to really kind of dive in a more intentional way, to immerse yourself with the different opportunities we have and resources that we're offering, because you kind of have a choice here. And so we're praying that God will stir up hunger and thirst and desire for him, for his spirit in your life. And the second invitation today is just to cultivate intimacy. If you've never thought about the Holy Spirit as a person to be known by and to know, that you begin. That you begin to talk to him and listen to him and worship with him and to enjoy his presence just like you would any other kind of relationship. If you want to develop intimacy with a good friend or your family member or a spouse, right? What do you have to do? You need to spend unhurried time with them, being vulnerable with them. God gave the whole of himself to us. He went to great lengths to be close to us, to give the fullness of himself to us. And his invitation today is for us to bring the whole of ourselves to him, to be fully vulnerable to him, to be fully known by him. And so it requires intentionality, it requires unhurried time spent together, not just discussing the business of the day, but by getting personal. Psalm 16:11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Why don't we stand while the worship band comes back up? Today, as we move into a time of worship, I just want to invite you right now, just take a few minutes before you engage worship and talk to the Holy Spirit. Remembering that he's a person to be known and to be known by. And if intimacy with the Holy Spirit is not something that you have a lot of experience with, or that's a new concept for you, I'm just going to invite his presence right now, and he wants nothing more than to love you. I mean, he already does, but for you to just to receive that love, he wants nothing more than to be close to you. And then I want to invite any of you who would like to respond by receiving prayer this morning. There'll be some of us in the back that'd be happy to pray for you, and if that's something you would just like someone else to come alongside and pray with you, that you would just experience the Holy Spirit in a more intimate way, we would love to pray for you for that. And then, as always, if there's anything else you'd like prayer for, a physical need and a relational need, we're family. We'd love to come alongside and pray for you for anything that you have. Feel free to come receive prayer. I pray you'd rest on us right now. You'd fill us with yourself. And I just pray, like liquid love, you would just pour yourself into us. We just offer this time and space to you. We just say, have your way. Just come, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Milwaukee podcast. For more information, go to vineyardmilwaukee.com.